This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind Archives.
Give him some applause. All right, this is Raymond Charles Barker, and I'd like to say that for our 7 radio stations, I need to say that because we are broadcasting over that large, to that large body of people. And so I'll just say again, this is Raymond Charles Barker talking to you from Alice Tully Hall in Lincoln Center in New York City. All right. What is it we believe and what is it most of us know? That the universe is a friendly system. We are not in the enemy's camp. We are in a universe that is designed for the greatness and the grandeur of the individual. That was its purpose, that's its current meaning. And you and I are the beholders of it. We function in it. We appreciate it. And we are cooperating with it. The universe is good. Now, let's not change that by telling ourselves everything that isn't. The universe is good. The universe is right action. The universe is loving. It is warm. It is beneficent. It is offering itself to us, and we are in it. Now, individually, we decide how we're going to be in it. And I'll be talking about that later. We can be in it in any number of ways. But at least it is good, whether we see it or not, know it or not, believe it or not, think it or not, experience it or not, it is nevertheless a system of goodness and a system of grace. And we are the participants thereof. All right, let's be still a moment and take this into our subconscious mind. That we exist in and are a part of that which is great, that which is forever expanding, that which is forever giving of itself to us. A universe that is spiritual in origin. And you and I are spiritual in origin. And here we are, in the midst of it all, participating, accepting, rejoicing. So we know that the infinite spirit, that which we used to call God, is still in business. It is still causing the sun to rise every day and the moon to rise every night. And all of it is good. So we can see the sunlight without pride. We can rejoice in the moonlight without pride. It's all here, it's all now, and it's all great. And for this, we all rejoice and give thanks. So it is. I'm going to turn to the third inside page of the program. And I will say, due to inclement weather, isn't that the nice word for it? Yes. Our audience here is not as big as usual. They're all home listening by radio. And therefore, those of us here must sing with authority. And let's use a term that isn't usually used in church. Let's sing it lustily. Is that a good word? Yes. You know, with All right. Now, these are three verses to the greatest old tune you've ever known. And you were all raised in some form of it. And if not, you know it anyway. That great old thing called the 100. And it's a classic. It'll be around long after you and I've gone. Now, we've changed the words, because we always do, to fit that which we have to say. And so you'll see the three verses on your printed program. Let me read the second verse. One source, one law, one life and mind, the very being of mankind, making me free and wise and strong, its praises are my constant song. All right, the others you know. Praise God, the good is everywhere. All right, shall we stand and sing it with authority? Talking today on a very trite, I'll use that term, subject. I use that almost every Sunday, don't I? I'm going to talk on abundant living. Now, this is the carrot that's been out in front of the donkey for the last 100 years. When this teaching emerged in the 1870s, it caused a great stir. For the simple reason, it told the individual that he or she could have what they wanted, what he or she wanted. And, of course, the old order shook, and the old order condemned, and the old order ranted and raved and screamed and hollered, because this was new, this was fresh, this was different. We had had thousands of years of being told that whatever your problem was, it was good because it was the will of God. So the sicker you were, the more you pleased the Almighty. And the poorer you were, the nearer you were to the gates of heaven. And if you had someone in your family that was a great trial, you were to bear it, be brave, and carry your cross right to the end. Now, we arrived in 1870. I wasn't there at the time. I might like to put that in. And we began this new announcement. One of our earliest teachers defined it as this: we believe in the new thought of God and the larger thought of man. I like that. We believe in the new thought of whatever this creative process is and the larger thought or concept of what the individual is, because we had had all of this other instruction. Now, it probably served its purpose for millions of people down through the ages, but it doesn't serve us, because you and I are a part of something that is fresh, vital, creative, dynamic, something that says now is the time. All right, you want more. I want more. We all want more. And that is right. The great teacher said that he came that we might have life more abundant. Good illustration. Now, how do we get it? It can't be on the basis of our present consciousness. If it were, we'd already have it. It can't be on the basis of yours or my present consciousness. If it were, we'd already have it. We would already be experiencing it. Now, it isn't. Therefore, what do we have to do to get it? And of course, here we come into an abstraction that many people cannot accept. Everything starts with an idea. Everything, including abundant living. Everything starts with an idea. The idea is, I can experience it. I can have it. I can be it. When I accept the idea of it. You see, the great problem all through time, nothing new, has been that most people could not accept great spiritual understanding or truth. Oh, they listened, and later generations read, but they didn't accept it. They thought it was very nice, period. You know, the disciples of Jesus one day came back to him and said they hadn't been very successful when they went out to the surrounding towns. And he said, regarding these towns, that you could not do much in them because of their unbelief. Good term. Because of their unbelief. Meaning, they didn't believe it. Oh, they listened. Oh, sure. And they muttered, isn't it wonderful? But they didn't believe it. Because they didn't believe it, they didn't have it. See, you can't have anything you don't believe, negative or positive. You can't even be sick if you don't believe it. And believe that it's normal. Yes. The radio this morning, in my 15 minutes of negative listening, told me that I probably would have hay fever. This is the time. The pollen count is very high. And it gave me one key idea, I think it was $1.50 a bottle, as to what could be done about it. So I listened. I'm sure that bottle's going to help millions. I'm sure of it. Because that's where their belief will be. And so the wife sneezing will say to the husband, dear, will you get me my little bottle of whatever this is, the anti-something or other. And he'll go and get it. She'll sniff. And she'll, oh, thank God. Oh, so one, because that's where her belief is. Is this wrong? No. No. And it's not even wrong if you've got one of these bottles. Use it. Ernest Holmes, when he wrote the Science of Mind textbook, which is the basis of all this teaching, said, if you need a pill or anything like it, take it. take it. Don't be guilty. Just take it. And eventually be free of it if you can. If you're never free of it, so what? Won't do you one bit of harm, and probably will do you some physical good temporarily, and you'll feel better. Now, how do you get in a more abundant life? By having an idea that it is possible. Now, here's where most people turn aside. Because the instruction coming from the human mind of the world has always said that you shouldn't have it. That it should be reserved for the few, and even those few in the old days were considered very questionable people. So we have the old concept of, I shouldn't have it because. And then we blame it on the universe, because the Lord didn't want me to have it. If the Lord wanted me to have it, I'd have it. Hooey. The farmer in the spring doesn't say, if the Lord wants a crop of wheat in the field, the Lord will do the work. No, he gets out there and he does the work. And he plants, and he tends, and later he reaps. He doesn't sit back and say, well, if it was the divine idea, the divine intention, then it's mine. And sit back, and you know what happens. He soon goes bankrupt. No, he has to do it. And so we come right down to this thing here. The abundant life is possible. Now, it's a big, vague term, meaning something better than what you have now. Is possible when you accept it, believe it, and feel at home with it. I use that last term very definitely. You have to feel at home with what you want before you get it in order to have it. It has to become natural to you. Forget your neighbors, forget your relatives. You, individually. And how do you get it? You get it through an idea. And the idea is in your mind right now, because all ideas are in your mind. There is no paucity of idea. All ideas are in everybody's mind. You may never think them, you may never call upon them, you may never need them, but they're there. The whole thing is there. All mind is everywhere evenly present, and all mind is equally active and equally potent in every point in space and every instant of time. I'll say that again. I memorized that more years ago than I want to remember, and it has reminded me over and over again that when I sit back and say, what shall I do? There's nothing I can do. Everything is against me. And then this comes right up out of my memory field in the subconscious and says, Barker, remind yourself that the infinite mind is everywhere evenly present, therefore it is where you are. And this infinite intelligence is in action as all idea where you are in your consciousness right here and right now. It's all here. And then I think, oh, well, then there's an idea to solve my problem. And the idea begins to trickle into my consciousness. My first reaction is, uh-uh. Oh, no, no, no. And then I think, well, why not? Why not? You know? Why not? But the human mind, oh, no, be careful. Be careful. Well, the people who are careful never get very far. That's now not how Edison invented the electric lamp. He wasn't careful. If he'd been careful, he kept on with gas lamps and candles. You know. And somebody else would have come along and invented it. Because an idea whose time has come always appears. So someone else would have invented it. I'm very glad he did. He looks so, almost spiritual in his pictures. And beneficent, kindly. He looks like most of our great-grandfathers. And it's very nice. And I'm glad he did it, thank God. But it would have happened anyway. Every idea happens on time and in order. And in your particular individual experience, if you'll let it, every idea happens on time and in order. If you let it. Now, that's the great question. That is it. Because, first of all, we don't expect it. People say to me, oh, I'd love to have a larger income. I say, do you expect it? Well, not really. I say, okay, you won't have it. Do you expect it? Well, I don't see how... Quit it. Do you expect it? Well, not really. All right. And stay as you are. Stay as you are. You want something, but you do not expect it. And the universe responds to the people who expect something larger, greater, and finer than that which they have now. It does. And so, Mr. Edison, never knew him. Read his biography. I never knew him. But this man expected to find the key to a fluttering little something that gave off life. He expected it. And every time he failed, he was disappointed. Not unhappy, because a scientist isn't unhappy when he fails. He merely knows he goes back in and does it again, finding out what was wrong, how he can change it, do it better. All right, that's you. Because you are a scientist of the new age. Only you're a scientist in the realm of mind and emotion. You may or may not be in the realm of form out here. But at least you are that in the realm of mind and emotion. You are not an inventor. You are the revealer of ideas. And this is where your abundance comes from. What do you expect? That's the only thing you can get. That's all. The universe can only fill your cup. And if it's a little one, it'll fill it. And you'll drink from it and say, well, at least I have this. At least I have this. And so the little cup gets full, the rest runs over on the ground. Other people take a quart bucket. They expect it, it gets full, and it still runs over on the ground. Other people take a gallon receptacle. It fills up, it pours over. And the expectancy provides it. Rather, it provides the vehicle. Good question. What are you expecting out of life in the next 10 years? It's an unpleasant question for many people. Do you know how many people, if you were to ask that question, first of all, they wouldn't answer you. Secondly, their answer in substance would be, well, I'd like to get by. I'd like to go along to the end with my bills paid and a comfortable place to live and et cetera. That's death talking, do you know it? That's the voice of death speaking. Just to stay as you are. I'll tell you something, I'm not going to stay as I am. Those of you that have known me the last 30 years, you've known I've never stayed the way I was. Never. And I'm not going to. And those of you that want to listen to me in the next 10 years, you're still going to find that I'm not staying the way I was. Yes. I told you last week about the woman in the San Francisco area that wrote me, I think I'm getting over, but the fact I repeat it means I haven't. And she said, you know, I much prefer your cassette tapes back in 1971 to your present tapes. You were so different then. And somebody said, well, did you get out the 71 tapes and listen? No, I never listen to my tapes. When I give something, it's gone. I get ready for the next one. At any rate, she's back in 1971. I don't think the talks I've given in the last year are that poor. Are they? No. You know, great. Now, you'll admit I asked for that. At any rate, you come back. What are we expect? We want the abundant life. Oh, we want this, we want that, we want the other. Oh, sure. We run off all these things. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if? And down inside, we think, oh, if I can only stay the way I am. If only my income can meet my needs, as it temporarily seems to be. And then we worry. I had someone yesterday who does not drive an automobile at all. And he went on and on. It was in a plane. I was on, you know, when you get on a plane alone, you cannot pick your partner in the next seat. That's done by United Airlines in this instance. And there he was. And he was going on about the cost of gasoline. I finally said to him, do you have a gasoline-motored lawnmower? No. He's got the old push kind. Doesn't own a car. Has no need of gasoline in his world. But the way that man went in his language, I don't mean he was vulgar, but he was definite. You know. And so with that, I listened and shut off that. I just listened. Paid it no more attention. Because he was excited about something that didn't even concern him. Watch out when you get into your tirades. Do they have anything to do with you? Be sure they don't. Do or don't. And if they do, then lessen your tirade. And if they don't, then keep your mouth shut. Now, not pleasant, even if it's true. Now, how do you get in a more abundant life? By having ideas that'll produce it. It's not going to just happen out of the blue. It is not wishful thinking. It is not waiting until a rich uncle dies. And you usually find that he left it to his third wife instead of you. Very wise man, or rather a very sharp woman, one or the other. At any rate, she must have earned it by right of conscience, or she wouldn't have it. So, here we are, in the midst of a mind that knows no limitation, a consciousness that can never be defeated, even though we defeat ourselves, it does not remain defeated. It is still there is life, it is still there is mind, it is still there is love, it is still there is possibility, it is still there saying, when will you enlarge your concept? And when you do, then you will move from the little cup of water to the quart size. And if you keep at it, you'll move from the quart size to the gallon. Because that's all it does. Now, what are we going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I expect more and more and more. I often tell you about this teacher long since gone who was a bore. You know, many of our teachers have been bored. If you don't, you'll learn. At any rate, that's one thing you can't say of me even if you don't like me. I'm not a bore. At any rate, this character years ago, it got so I just shuddered. Because whenever you said to him, how are you? He always said, I never felt better and I never had more, but I expect to feel still better and to have still more. Everybody got this treatment. It didn't matter whether it was the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, an old friend. Anybody that just stopped him casually on the street got the same treatment. I never felt better and I never had more, and I expect to feel still better and that. Have still more. Well, nice. When you say it once, it's great. But he went on for 20 years with this. By the way, he was healthy. He had been a physical culture teacher, and he was awfully healthy. Almost too much. He was healthy. At the time that I knew him, he wasn't very comfortable in money. And I don't know enough of his later years to know whether he had more or whether he didn't. At least he talked enough, he should have had it. Now, you. Myself. Then what will I get? I will get what I expect. And where will it come from? It'll come out of the infinite mind, the divine almighty, when I expect it to come. It'll come as a free gift. Both Isaiah and Paul told us that. It'll come without price, but it does. The price we pay is the mental coin of changing consciousness. And that's the most expensive thing in the world. If you don't think so, try it. Try loving somebody you can't stand. It's hard work. It is very hard work. Try anything like that. Doesn't have to be a person. It can be a situation or a condition. And discover that it ain't easy. And I use the word ain't with definite intent. I know it's very bad grammar, but did you know it's now in all the latest dictionaries? And it's respectable now. It's in Webster's, it's in Random House, it's in them all. That makes it respectable, you know that. So, when the next time somebody says, I wish you wouldn't say that, say, look, it's in the dictionary, I can say it if I want to. So, that'll get back at them. However, a person on a public platform really shouldn't use it without explaining it, which I've just done. All right, here it is, the whole thing. I'm in the midst of the greatest amount of ease, order, and efficiency there's ever been in the history of mankind. We are the most prosperous generation that has ever been. And everybody sits around counting pennies. Yep. They sit around counting pennies. I came home from a trip this week, which I'll tell you about later, and I found my bank statement. And boy, last night did I go to work. I had a friend to help me, because I'm not the greatest mathematician in the world. And do you know, when it was all done, I had more money in the bank than I thought. Oh, it was so good. It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had been going around thinking I had so much in the bank. Lo and behold, I had $200 more. Why? Due to an error I made in subtraction. I discovered that 2 from 4 wasn't 4. Yep. Now to go back. You will say, well, you didn't expect it. No, but I expect the fullness of life at every instant of time. And I don't care whether it comes to a checkbook. I don't care if it comes to a gift. I don't care if it comes to a raise in salary. I don't care how it comes. I expect it. Yes. I expect it. Then someone's going to say, but Dr. Barker, in these times has nothing to do with it. People are getting rich in these times as much as they did in any other time. Good. I agree with you. Now, a universe of ideas that are free, an individual you capable of taking in new ideas merely because they are available when you want them. How do you get them? Just say you're getting them. Just say, I'm sick. No, that isn't the right word. I'm tired. Don't put that first word in. And don't even use the second. I don't like my present experience, and I want to change it for the better, and I can only do it if I get better concepts. You see, you can't do it by railing at that which is. And so Jesus said, pay your taxes. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Then he added, but render unto God that which is God's. And everybody around him was raised. And he quietly said, look, pay your taxes and shut up. Why? Because he knew that all their railing would only make them poorer. That's all. He knew the law of money. He knew that where their attention was, with emotional intent, it would produce after its own kind. Just as yours does, mine does, anyone else's does. Because he was too busy with a world of ideas. A world saying, here is a larger picture. Here is a larger concept. Here is a different definition of both God and man. That's what he was busy doing. And so with you. Have you enlarged your concept of what the deity is, or is it still the same old deity? Have you enlarged your concept of what you are? Or are you nothing but a birth certificate waiting for a death certificate? You know, that's what your neighbors and friends are. Oh, they got a social security number, too. Yeah. You see? I hope that when they get to the next plane of life, they're shown their death certificate. They've worked so hard to get it. Come on, it's funnier than that. Now to come back. One mind, one consciousness, all ideas, all possibility, all potential. But we sit in rooms with all the shades drawn, so we don't know that sunlight's out there. We sit in our minds with all shades drawn. And we sit there and say, well, what can you do in times like these? You can do an awful lot. You can do tremendous things in times like these. Or you can sit, vegetate, and become smaller in mind. That you can do, too. So you sit back and say, well, I guess it wasn't in my stars. No, because you didn't do anything about it. Has nothing to do with your stars. It has to do with your, I'm not going to use that word. Gumption, is that the better word than guts? Yeah. I meant the other. Yeah. So we sit back and say, well, I guess I wasn't destined for this or destined for that. All right, that's your own decision. And therefore, it controls you. It operates you. And so forth. Remember that Grandma Moses started painting in their late 80s. And the average person cannot buy a Grandma Moses painting anymore. You've got to be a millionaire, and it's better if you're multi-millionaire. Now, you can get good copies, so they're fine. But she could have sat back and said, well, it's too late. Or the times in which I'm living really don't warrant it. Oh, she could have done the whole bit, but she didn't. Not at all. She had an idea. She did something with the idea. The idea happened by means of her. Now, does this mean you should become the great painter? Not at all. You should become what you want to be. You're even free to stay just as you are, if you want to be it. Yeah. So I talked to a man whom you wouldn't know, but at any rate, very prominent layman in the metaphysical movement, on Thursday afternoon in Chicago. And I said to him, Ray, do you still own 3 television stations and 4 FM stations? No, he said, I got out of that. And I said, knowing you, it'd be tidy profitable. He just smiled. So I said, well, what are you doing now? He gave me, this man is about 70. He gave me a list of the things that he and his wife, I'm talking about business. Business ideas that he and his wife are now in. And he is currently making much more than he ever made with all the television and FM stations. Why? Because he didn't retire. He didn't say, I've got this amount of money, which would have been tremendous. And so I'm going to take life easy. Nope. He went out and got a new idea. Many of them. He's there. because he's always worked with ideas. You don't get to where he is, without ideas happening. And you're going to say, well, but didn't he have to take a great many chances? Look, every person has to take chances. And if you're afraid to take chances, quit. Get into bed with a couple of comfortable pillows and a cup of hot bouillon and stay there. Everybody has to take chances. In any relationship, in any situation, any condition, you have to take chances. The reason I'm pausing is I'm looking at my watch and I've talked long enough. All right, get ideas. So ends the lesson. All right, here in Alice Tully Hall in Lincoln Center in New York City, we are going to do that which comes naturally. And that is, we are going to receive your gifts, and I merely ask that you look in your hand and decide whether it is just. Is it just? Well, because for what you're giving, it is the measurement of your consciousness. So look at that quarter twice. Add one. I'd like to report that I am here and will be here all week and all month. You'll hear me every Sunday up through the 1st of August. I say that because many people call and say, who's the speaker? All right, Barker's it until the 8th of August. And I'd like to say that our associate minister, the Reverend Stuart Grayson, is on a beach in sunny Bermuda right now. He deserves it. He deserves it. We're glad. And he'll come back with one of those nauseating tans. Me white. He'll walk in, you know, looking, and I'll say, I see you got a great deal of sun. He says, oh, yes, I like beaches. So, I'll come back in August with one just like his, and by that time, his will have faded. Got it all scheduled. Now, also our associate, the Reverend Eric Pace, he's back home from his seminar in Ghana, in Africa. I haven't had the report yet, but he'll come in tomorrow bursting with all the news. And he's back and will be teaching tomorrow at noon. He'll be back on his Monday noon schedule for the noon lecture. And on Tuesday, Mr. Keats will be speaking. On Wednesday, I am speaking. On Friday, Mr. Hermans will have returned with his tan, and he will be speaking Friday noon. Now, he is not speaking tonight. He can't. He's out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. So he will not be speaking tonight. There'll be no 6 o'clock lecture tonight. Many of you raved and hollered about last week's talk, and many of you have the cassette, but if you don't have it and want it, the cassettes on last week's talk, The Great Experiment, are available, and they're outside this morning. Also, if you want cassettes of today's talk, you can order them. All of our Sunday talks are on cassettes. Now, I'd like to say for the radio stations that if you want to write us, would like to get our books, our literature, our cassettes, if you'd like to know more about what we're teaching here in the Science of Mind, you write to me, Dr. Raymond C. Barker, 14 East 48th Street, New York, New York, 117. Mark it down. I say that because this morning when I came in, I was handed 3 letters. One was dated June 15th, and the other two were also dated in June, and they sent them to this address. And with the office staff on vacation, I got them today. So don't send your letters here to Alice Tully Hall. Send them to 14 East 48th Street, New York, New York. All right, the magazines and all my books are out there. In your program this morning is an announcement of Mr. Pace's new class. It'll open this week. And he's basing it on Dr. Bitzer's book, Your Mental Computer. We have them outside if you want them. And as you know, this is a vibrant teacher. You will like what he says. And he's going to be gone all August, so this is your chance to get in 3 more good lessons by Eric Pace. And read it. It's Wednesday afternoon and Thursday night. Now, what more? Oh, I just came back from the International New Thought Alliance Convention in Chicago. Biggest thing we ever had, best ordered we ever had. There was never anything like it. It was terrific. On Friday night, the last night, the closing, I went in to give my talk. And I always go in late because I don't want to go through all the performance ahead of it. And so I was there, bright and shining, ready to give my talk. And there were 2,300 people in that great ballroom. 2,300. Look around you this morning. See where those 2,300 are. Yeah. And the applause. And I gave a good talk. So you can all go home and tell all your friends Dr. Barker was in Chicago and he was a hit. Is that all right? Now, I'd like to say that prior to that, in the earlier part of the week, the Reverend Stuart Grayson was there and he was a hit. Yes. So this organization made a great contribution to this world convention. And so he came back on Thursday and I went out on Thursday. And unfortunately, those big planes are kept so far apart, we couldn't wave. You know. At any rate, he came in here and I came in there and all was well. He's now been elected a vice president of that organization. And may I just say that start your anticipation, get your antennas up, and next summer plan your vacation to be here in July because we're going to have this international conference here at the Hotel Hilton, and Mr. Grayson is looking to all of it. It takes 200 people to put this performance on. And so get ready when his eagle eye hits you out in the lobby some Sunday. And either have an excellent excuse. That's the month you always visit Mother. It's got to be that good, you know. It's got to be that good. Because he's going to say, I need thee every hour during 1 week. Not like the old hymn, that's forever. He only says, for 1 week, I need thee every hour. At any rate, it'll be great fun next year. It was a great experience this year. And it was vital, it was creative, it was great. So that's the way we'll have it next year also. All right, those are the announcements of the morning. If I've forgotten any, you think of it. I speak Wednesday noon at 12:10. Dr. Tom Johnson of our Morristown Church speaks Wednesday evening at 6. So his fan club will organize and be present at 6 o'clock Wednesday night for Dr. Tom Johnson, whom you all love and whose booklets are excellent. All right, let's look at this clock now. Let's bring this together. There is one mind, one consciousness, one set of ideas, and you have them. You draw upon them, you have the means of an abundant life. You have the means of everything. You have the means of great expectations. All right, shall we stand for that closing idea? Let us this week be those people of great expectations. That the fullness of life, the grandeur of being, the whole bit, can operate in our consciousness, can flow in our minds, can be in our world, and rejoice and be glad in it. All right, so when is the lesson?
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.